is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Alexander Hamilton, the centerpiece of a very famous production on Broadway, at the same time informing a new essay by Veronique de Rougier, the Mercatus Center, about Hamilton's better idea, a fully funded permanent public debt. Now, this is the end of the 18th century, and a lot of things have moved since then, but a fully funded permanent public debt is still an ideal. I learned from Veronique, we've lost the ideal. Veronique, a very good evening to you. Translate for me. Fully funded means that you're going to have debt, but that you can pay for it. Is that what it means? Good evening to you.
Good evening. That it means that you can accumulate debt, but you have to ultimately always have a plan to pay it back. So it has to be very clear. If you're going to have a debt, that you're going to be making it good on your investors, that you're committing to never default on that promise.
And that means the way you raise revenue is taxes. Alexander Hamilton had taxes. Now, they didn't have income taxes. They had taxes at the ports, for example. However, they did balance. Well, no, I don't want to use the word balance. They did not spend more than they could adequately refund. And that.
Yeah, but it's also the idea that, for instance, for your everyday expenses, like the non-emergency expenses of the federal government, should be paid basically back by taxes. And when you're in a war, because that's where the context of the debt emerged under Hamilton, when you're in a war, the federal government can accumulate debt, but with the promise that there will be action taken after the emergency in order to repay that debt. So that it doesn't mean necessarily just increasing taxes, even though that can be part of the equation, but it also means making sure that you engage in some spending cuts or some form of austerity after the emergency is over.
230 years later, we have what you describe as U.S. monetary policy norms, and they're in place. That's the Federal Reserve, right? Do we have U.S. fiscal policy norms? Do those exist?
Well, we had until recently, really. I mean, the U.S. has lived since Hamilton under implicit fiscal norms, but nothing that was written on paper guiding the behavior of Congress. The difference with the monetary norms, a lot of them are actually legal norms that were imposed on the Federal Reserve. But also, I mean, the monetary regime, like the Federal Reserve has a mandate that is actually very clear, right? Stabilize price
employment
mandate. For fiscal goals are very political, and they're all over the place, and they change each time someone come in power. So this is why those norms that used to guide, even though they were implicit, those fiscal norms are all the more important. And it boiled down to the U.S. will not default, effectively was one. Like you are going to be, if you create deficits, you're going to then create surplus, right? You're going to be, that is a way of saying that, you know, whatever we borrow will repay by creating fiscal surplus. Then also that you can, as I said, you have to live off taxes during non-emergency times, but you repay you during emergencies. You can actually generate debt and borrow money and put it on the credit card. And but again, under the constraint that the first rule applies, which is eventually you have to repay that money, and so rules like this we had, and it's become, and also the last one was it's like when interest payment on the debt becomes such an important part of the budget, then austerity.
Well, that's where we are today. You tell me that we have payments on the debt, service payments, more than $1 trillion. So where's the austerity? Have they forgotten that part of the formula, or is
they actually forgotten every part of the formula, because there was a time, even under the last emergency during the Great Recession, you and I have talked about this, President Obama made sure to tell the American people and American investors that, you know, we are borrowing a lot of money. We accumulate a large deficit, larger than we've had apart from the Second World War. But within 5 years, the deficit will be cut back in half. There will be austerity. And in fact, we had a big austerity debate in the country. This time around, there's been no such thing. Not only has there been no conversation or no promise to roll back a lot of the programs that were put in place during the COVID emergency, but on top of that, the president hasn't even evoked the fact that we needed to actually pay down our debt. And what he's been doing has been actually add really massively to the debt. And now that we've had inflation, which has required the Federal Reserve to raise interest rates, leading to enormous interest payments, you would think that we would be closer to have a conversation about austerity, but we don't.
What's the timeline on this? When did it happen that we moved away from or just forgot Alexander Hamilton and became spendthrifts who don't pay our bills? Is there a date?
I mean, it's been gradual, but I think it's pretty clear that the last 25 years of actually something really has changed in the U.S. And really, I mean, since the end of the Great Recession, I mean, something really broke where no one has. I mean, the debt went, you know, from 65% of GDP to almost 100% in times of peace. We had the Great Recession increase the debt, but then during in time of peace under the Trump administration, debt as a share of GDP went up quite dramatically. Then it went up dramatically, really, actually, again, during the COVID emergency. And now there's like no sign that anyone is ever trying to bring it down to where it was pre-Great Recession.
So you believe that we've just abandoned Alexander Hamilton's recommendation? We're not going back there. It's foolish of me to hold it up as a standard. We have 30 seconds.
No, I think we should hold it back to the standard and demand that actually Congress live by some fiscal norms, even if they're implicit. This country's functioned really well. It's really paid off. This reputation that we pay back our debt,
right,
and that we act responsibly after emergencies meant that we actually, our treasuries are you know, our safe harbor everywhere. And so we need to make sure we don't lose this, this advantage.
Véronique de Rugy is the George Gibbs Chair in Political Economy, a Senior Research Fellow, Mercatus Center, George Mason University. I'm John Batchelor.